Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Santana Moss is in studio. It's Grant and Danny on The Fan. Here's the big NFL trade that went down. Three-teamer. You don't see these very often in football. The Bills get Jordan Matthews from the Eagles, E.J. Gaines a cornerback, and two draft picks, a second rounder from the Rams and a third rounder from the Eagles. I think they probably made out better than anybody here because they lost Sammy Watkins and they lost Ronald Darby. Watkins, their most talented wide receiver, was always hurt. Darby, a local kid actually from PG County, was turned into a pretty good corner. They drafted him 50th overall a couple years ago, and he's missed only three games in two seasons, and he's been pretty solid. He's got like 33 passes defended. He's the best corner on the Eagles maybe right away. I mean, he's legit, so that's a good trade for them. He's the only guy, only pick they get. So the compensation, Bills get Matthews, Gaines, second and third rounder. Eagles get Darby. Rams get Sammy Watkins and a sixth-round pick. But Jordan Matthews is good, man.
No question, Bills won.
67 catches, 85 catches, 73 catches. Last 3 years, flirting with 1,000 yards. He's got 19 touchdowns in 3 years. Always seems to torch the Redskins in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
So they get him. Plus, they get a second and a third-round pick.
Yeah,
plus,
yeah.
They get a worse corner, but a DB. I love this trade for Buffalo.
I love it, too. Just thinking about it, you know, Jordan Matthews, you're saying to yourself, like, how did the Eagles allow that to happen? But when you look at what they brought in, they got, you know, two veterans that came in this year through free agency. So they might just be licking their chops a little too much, thinking that they're a little too full on that side of the ball. But I still feel like a Jordan Matthews, the only thing that can make me allow myself to believe they wanted to trade him, just knowing they had to pay him a lot and they didn't have enough money for him.
Yeah. They didn't want to pay him next offseason, which I'm reading here.
Exactly.
Basically, he's a pending free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on the trade block because they signed Alshon Jeffrey and they paid him a ton. He's one of the best receivers in football. I get
exactly.
That. But the other thing that's happened that has helped in this case is that has helped veterans is that they have a situation now where they've got Nelson Aguilar coming on really strong.
Wow.
Nelson Aguilar, who was terrible last year and got benched
exactly.
And deactivated, supposedly has had an awesome camp. So they feel better about him. They've got a new wide receiver who they're paying, who they're going to build their offense around. And all of a sudden, you're not going to keep a guy, and you already know it, who catches 80 balls a year. There's value there that you can move him. The other interesting thing, and you played with a offense and under a coordinator and a play caller and a coach and Sean McVay, who gets receivers open, who's a really smart guy. Sean McVay didn't have a weapon like Sammy Watkins before today.
Not at all.
Now, I don't know if he can stay healthy. He's never played a full season since he was a rookie, and he missed half the year last year. But this is a guy that's averaging in his career 16 yards per catch. McVay has done a lot more with less talent than Sammy Watkins. I actually like him getting a playmaker who's 24 and has the upside of Watkins.
Yeah, he has some talent out there. He has You know, if Watkins could come in and stay healthy, he can really be that guy. He can be the X receiver that can stretch the field and catch some of those passes you saw DJ, you know, catching, Aldrick Robinson catching when he was here. You know, those guys was the guys that stretched the field and is always open. So McVay's going to find a way to make sure that he has it easy out there when it comes to getting open with that offense. But all you have to do is, all we can do is sit and cross our fingers and hope that he stay healthy.
They're hoping that Jared Goff has a better year, and the best way to ensure that he improves is to get him weapons. So if you look what they did, they drafted a tight end, Gerald Everett, in the second round. They drafted a wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, in the third round. They've got now this trade where they bring in Sammy Watkins. They've got Tavon Austin in the slot, who's overpaid and overrated, but at least he's shifty and small and kind of can get open, and you can use him out of the backfield a little bit. And Robert Woods, who they brought over from Buffalo as well, is going to be rejoined by his teammate now, Watkins, is the kind of their Pierre Garçon. I was reading a story this offseason where Sean McVay was in his ear constantly because basically he thought at that time the offense was going to go through Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you got a couple playmakers. So they're starting at least offensively to put a cast together that maybe McVay can work with. All right, let's get to the Redskins and the preseason debut in Baltimore last night. I just asked you about it a few minutes ago when you got here, and you said, man, they did not look good. You said, if I was a player, I would have been pretty disappointed. And you don't just mean the starters who barely played. You mean just as a team, it wasn't a clean operation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, first preseason game as a starter or as one of those guys that play a few plays in the first quarter, all you want to go out there and just get your blood flowing. You're not really caring about if you move the ball or not. You want to move the ball. You want to show some progress in what you've been putting out there on the field every day in practice. But it doesn't matter. It's preseason. But as a team, you know, we look forward to putting those hats on and being on the sideline and cheering on those guys that's trying to make the team. And I just didn't see enough all around from guys. You know, you saw guys here and there show up that is always coming. You're gonna find a few bright spots here and there. But as a team, we didn't look together. We didn't look all the way together. And I'm pretty sure that going back home, it was a long ride. And it's probably going to be some intense practices coming up this upcoming weekend.
Is the first preseason game typically more difficult? Because the jump from practice to game, even in a preseason, has to be huge, I would guess.
I think it's difficult now because a lot of teams don't try to go out there and kill each other in practice. You know, I know for a fact as a Redskin, those last few years, we didn't really kill each other in practice. I mean, I've been on some teams where we beat each other up so bad in practice where we didn't make it to the preseason games. We had so many guys banged up, and you know, coaches pay attention to that right now, knowing that we don't have that many practices, padded practices. You can't go 2-a-days. You have to have a walkthrough and stuff like that now. So some of those things are to the advantage of the players and stuff. But if you're not with that mentality of the Patriots, where you're gonna let these guys thud every day, or you're gonna run them out to practice. Preseason is just kind of to get yourself basically in shape enough to go out there and play come week one.
It's funny you say that because Ryan Anderson, who they drafted in the second round out of Alabama,
yeah,
who I actually liked last night. I thought he made some plays. Outside linebacker, he was quoted a week or so ago in camp as saying he thought the practices at Alabama were harder than what he's going with right now with the Redskins.
No doubt. No question.
You believe when he says that?
I believe that because he come from a top-notch program, and Nick Saban, I guarantee you Nick Saban takes the same approach as a Belichick. He's going to get it out of you right now in practice. If you can stand this fire that I'm putting you through right now, the games are going to be a breeze. And that's why those guys go out there and perform the way they do.
Should the Redskins
not
do
to
that?
Say, and I'm finna get to that.
Yeah.
Not to say that every coach had that same philosophy. Coaches have done more with less and been able to do the things that they know how to do. So I'm not saying that they should adopt that kind of, you know, practice or habits or whatever, because we still got to go out there and play football regardless if we beat you up in practice or not. But I feel that most players prepare themselves mentally and physically to be beaten up during training camp because that's what we used to. Every training camp I've been through all the way up until I got to like my 12th to 13th year was hard. And then you get to your 12th and 13th season, you're like, okay, we should have been doing this.
All right.
But you see the difference, and because you kind of need it around that time, you know, as an older veteran guy. But some of these young guys coming fresh out of college, all they know is to get drugged. So let them, you know, so go out there and drag them a little bit.
But it wasn't just the Redskins. So this is why I'm interested in what you're saying. As I watched the highlights and bounced around last night on my computer on different videos being streamed of different games, there was ugly football everywhere.
Oh, no doubt.
And so your point is the lack of in a hitting, the lack of practice intensity, some of that is dictated from the league and the PA and everything. Some of it's the coaches are getting wiser about injuries. It will affect that first preseason game and how you look.
It will affect it. And I think that the coaches are doing a great job regardless if you having those Belichick practices or you're having the ones that we see where the guys is out there laughing. Like I heard one of the commentators say, man, you know, I went to the practice and I saw a lot of laughing and a lot of teeth and a lot of smiling. Let those guys do that because eventually – the veterans know how to turn it on. If you're a young guy, you have to fly around right now in practice. These veterans know that as long as I get my reps in, as long as I'm out here, you know, studying, when it's time to turn it on come week three of the preseason, you're going to see a whole different ball game. Right now, it's the first game. Even though it was ugly, they probably wanted to do a little more as a team. You know, they still have so much to look forward to when it comes to second preseason game and third preseason game.
Big news today on 106.7, the Fan. Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys has been suspended 6 games. He will not be back, assuming his appeal is not leads to an overturning of the 6-game suspension until week 8 against the Redskins. Question we've got for you is, what does that mean for the NFC East? We'll get into that, and we will also break down some of who impressed us last night in the Redskins-Ravens preseason opener. Santana Moss is in studio, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson from my friend Jerry Mannix and his team at Mannix Heating and Cooling. They are pros in every aspect of their game. Clean and respectful in your home. Don't leave a screw on the ground. Their product knowledge is second to none. How do I know all this? Because I've used Jerry Mannix. Because I have utilized the quality that is his company. Because they fixed a room in my dad's house that was never the correct temperature, and now it is. And they did it with Mitsubishi Electric cooling and heating systems that are more efficient, that don't require that expensive, that tedious ductwork. It was a job well done, and we will use them again. Mitsubishi Electric Systems for Mannix Heating and Cooling, sleek, quiet alternative, far less expensive than some of the traditional HVAC systems you're familiar with. You got to call up Jerry Mannix. Take care of your home for the stretch run in the summer, and as you get into the fall, this is the time to do it. 703-777-9211 is the number. You see their orange trucks on the roads? 703-777-9211. Check them out online, mannixhvac.com. Great prices, better service, and I'm telling you, you are not going to regret it. Check them out.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.